Entrei pra escola do perdão. A minha casa vive aberta, abri todas as portas do coração. Água de beber, água de beber, camará. Água de beber, água de beber, camará.
This program is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the show today, we have two members of a group based in Urbana-Champaign called Bossa Nuevo, which is presenting a concert Friday night at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. That's the old post office building. There's still a post office there, but it's mostly the Independent Media Center. And their show goes from 7 to 10. The group is called, I guess I said already, Bossa Nuevo. And the members are vocalist Holly Holmes, saxophonist Mikhail Templeton, guitarist George Turner. George is with me today. Pianist Lara Driscoll. And bassist Karim Yangsep, he's also with me on the show, and drummer Matt Plaskoda. Their program is billed here as the music of Jobim Lobo Giavan, if I'm saying his name right, Piazzolla et al. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming on, and I'm very anxious to hear about the group, about some of these composers, some of their music, and about the gig. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Kevin.
So whose idea was Bossa Nuevo, and how long have you been around?
Well, I guess Kareem was the founder of the group. So, and this will be what, our third gig? Is that right? Second, okay.
So you are very new.
Yeah. I don't know, Kareem. What kind of got you to start the group?
One of the inspirations for creating this group was a desire to actually listen to this music live. And oftentimes when you go to a jazz performance, you would hear a couple of Latin standards in the style of bossa nova or something a bit more complicated, but rarely do you hear sort of full-length performance of variety of styles from South America. And that sort of was the catalyst. And of course, going to school at U of I and hearing all these great musicians, and I actually was, and what made me actually bring people together was hearing Holly Holmes sing, because she has a very unique perspective of being able to, you know, she studies musicology and Latin American music, so she has a lot of experience presenting that material authentically, and, you know, also singing in Portuguese. And I was very pleased to hear that she actually wanted to, you know, join the group and collaborate.
Where did you hear her sing?
You know, here and there in town,
different clubs.
Yeah, and then one day I just said, you know, hey Holly, how would you feel singing with this group? And
a group that didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Well, that's how a lot of things get started. You have some particular inspiration, whether it's somebody you want to perform with, as often as not. So, in other words, you can hear fairly easily live performances of jazz in the style of bossa nova or mm-hmm. something, but you don't often hear the actual bossa nova composers very often.
Well,
is that kind of
and you know, another thing about
or even whatever that term means,
the
which is
renditions
a
of bossa nova in typical jazz performance would be is that there are several tunes that are often performed and you would hear them over and over, and it's just like a select pieces. And another thing is that they're often removed from the original recordings, you know, like the melody would be played a certain way, but in actuality, when the recording came out in the 60s, the singer would sing it differently. And so we really wanted to reach back and try to captured that the authenticity of those pieces. Like, we feature a lot of the standard arrangement introductions from the Jobim recordings, played on flute by Mikael. And
this is Antonio Carlos Jobim?
Yes. And that's something that also struck me, that you rarely hear those beautiful introductions that, you know, mean a lot to a lot of people, but they're often omitted, you know. So we wanted to kind of research that and bring that to life.
Well, Jobim is one of those composers where if you asked me to name one of his tunes, I could probably come up with two, and I can only think of the first one.
Please,
which is the girl of Girl from Ipanema. That's and that does get played all the time. And what's the other one?
Oh, well, there's several that get played pretty frequently. Besides the Girl from Ipanema, you know, stuff like Corcovado, Meditation, Wave, a few others like that. But like Kareem was saying earlier, yeah, there's certain stuff that you hear jazz musicians play all the time, and I would say, you know, it would be like a short list of probably about 10 tunes by Jobim, and that tends to be like mostly like the extent of bossa nova repertoire that most jazz musicians play. So kind of, but you know, there's so much more Brazilian music, and so that's, I guess, what we're trying to do in this group, is just kind of dig a little bit deeper and do some things by different composers, and maybe even some things that are more contemporary than just the you know, traditional bossa stuff from the early 60s. And you know, so yeah, we're just kind of trying to, you know, we're definitely playing some Jobim, but also trying to branch out from only playing Jobim.
Which is usually the composer. When you say bossa nova, that's the name I think of. Mm-hmm. We're talking with a couple of members of a new group called Bossa Nuevo, who are giving a concert Friday night at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. This is Live and Local. My guests are guitarist George Turner and bassist Kareem Yengsep. I know you brought along a CD of samples of some of these composers. You want to introduce the first one on the disc?
Yeah. This is a tune that we're going to be playing on Friday, called "Elo Elo Marciano." I guess it was composed by a Brazilian singer and guitarist named Rita Lee. But there was a really great version of it recorded, I guess, probably around 1980 by the great Brazilian singer Elis Regina. And that was what was the inspiration for the version that we're going to be playing, was her arrangement of it. Unfortunately, you can watch it on YouTube, but it's hard to find the recording, the actual audio recording online. So I guess we're going to be listening to a version of it inspired by Elis Regina's version by another singer, Barbara Cassini, is that right, Kareem?
Yep.
From a tribute CD that she did to Elis Regina back in 2004. So this is her version of "Elo Elo Marciano," but definitely inspired by Elis Regina's version.
And heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Performance of a tune by Rita Lee called "Alo, Alo, Marciano," which I was just told means more or less "Hello, hello, Martians," something like that. You heard it on Live and Local on FM 90.9, and it's our first musical offering during a conversation we're having with two members of a new group in Urbana-Champaign called Bossa Nuevo, who are giving a concert Friday night in downtown Urbana at the Independent Media Center. George Turner is with us. He's the guitarist of the group, and Kareem Yengsep is the bassist. And we're glad to have him in the studio with us today. So remind me, George, who was that performance?
Oh, well, let's see. The performance we heard there of Allo Allo Marciano was by Barbara Cassini, but it was sort of a tribute to Elise Regina, and the arrangement of the tune was pretty much identical to the one that was done by Elise Regina, I think back around like 1980 or so, and that's the arrangement that we're going to be performing on Friday.
On Friday night. And Kareem, you were telling me about a little bit that it's an interesting lyric where she's actually calling on Martians or something.
Yeah. Like, even if you don't speak Portuguese, you can still catch some phrases about various social and political things that are going on. And in the lyrics, you can hear the singer talk about, you know, I'm assuming this was during the Cold War, about Russians marching and some Middle Eastern conflicts rising. And so she's calling out about the state of our society to Martians, nonetheless.
Well, it makes for a great tune anyway, even if you don't understand Portuguese, which is actually, for me personally, is always kind of interesting, because even with words in English, I tend not to absorb them. So I'm always listening to the music, and if there's vocals, I just sort of get the vibe of it. So it's sometimes all the same to me when I'm listening to world music. It's the same as listening to something in English, because I'm just listening to the music and enjoying it. Although sometimes I'll hear the rhythm of a certain language in a song, and I really would like to know, well, what does that mean anyway? Yeah. I might be disappointed.
You know, actually, hearing you talk about this kind of reminded me how I actually got introduced to one of the Brazilian artists, Djavan, whose track we also brought today. There's a great American electric bass player, Marcus Miller, who would talk about him with a lot of passion. And he actually said in one of his interviews, go out and buy this 81 album by Djavan called Seduzir. And then he said, you don't even have to understand Portuguese. Just, you know, make up your own lyrics. Hmm. And that's how I actually got out and got Djavan. And we're also performing one of his tunes tomorrow.
What is his first name?
He goes by the name of Djavan.
Oh, that's
it's
it.
Kind
okay.
of like a, you know, stage name.
Yeah. Is he still around?
He's around, and he's one of the huge stars in Brazil and sort of representative of what is called MPB, which stands for Música Popular Brasileira, which means just Brazilian popular music.
Yeah.
But to us, on this side of the, I guess, the planet, it's just so, I mean, to them it's popular music, but to us it's something very
exotic.
Yeah, you know, that and just very interesting.
What makes bossa nova? And is that term even appropriate to apply to all the stuff you're playing on this concert?
Well, I don't know, bossa nova, it's, I don't know if I would consider myself as an authority to answer this question, but my understanding of it is that it's related to samba, which is an earlier style of Brazilian music, but it's a little sort of cooler, a little more reserved, maybe not, tends to be slower tempos. There's a certain rhythmic pattern of the guitar that sort of defines it.
Actually, was listening to one of the radio programs several years back, and one of the announcer was speaking about bossa nova, and he called it sad samba, and he might have been referring to a definition made up by one of the musicians from Brazil. It's kind of like a sad samba of the city.
Mm.
You know, you always hear bossa nova, and it's very kind of down tempo, understated. There's a lot of it kind of just sits in those tempos, and that's when the magic happens. In fact, like we are doing one of the tunes, Insensatez, and we're usually people tend to play it very fast, but we're actually taking it even slower, because to us, if you're able to stay at those low tempos, that's when the real magic happens, you know, and
sort of in between the beats, because there's time.
Yeah, and if you just let that music come out of you, yeah.
It's now that I think of it, of all the bossa nova tunes I can remember hearing, there is a certain feel to it. It's very relaxed, and absolutely, maybe relaxing. Yeah. I mean that tune we just heard. I could imagine. I'm not really a dancer, but I can imagine it might be a little easier to dance to that than say any of a number of much faster kinds of things. You do. I noticed you had listed on your poster also some music of Piazzolla, which is very different.
Great point.
I don't know what you have next. I know you have some recordings you brought in a certain mm-hmm. sequence. I don't know what you have next, but we can either talk about that now or later.
Well, you know, since we're talking about it, the inspiration to have Astor Piazzolla's music as part of our repertoire, it's kind of actually in the name of the group, because Bossa Nuevo, it's a juxtaposition of Bossa Nova and Tango Nuevo.
Mm.
Which is the movement that was inspired by the compositions of Piazzolla in Argentina. And we actually play two compositions by Piazzolla, and we brought in one with us. It's track number 6, and it's called Soledad.
And who are the performers on here?
Do you have this is Piazzolla's standard quintet.
Oh, his quintet. You're great.
And, yeah.
I've been getting into his music a lot lately. In fact, there's been a lot of his music played in this community in the last number of months.
Yeah.
Which...
actually, George is a member of a group that performs authentic arrangements by Piazzolla.
Yeah, yeah.
Which group is this?
It was going under the name Tango Nero, but it's led by a bass player named Gerald Fowler.
Gerald Fowler, yeah.
And but I guess he found out there's another group called Tango Nero, I think in California or something. So we're changing the name to Tango Espejo.
Which means, what does that mean, you know?
You know, he said it's something about, I think Espejo means mirror or something.
Well, maybe we'll have some Spanish speaker call in and let
us
know.
That would be good, yeah. I don't want to say too much about it.
Okay, it's music of Piazzolla here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I certainly hope our listeners enjoyed that. I did. It was music by Astor Piazzolla, which we've been playing fairly a lot on this radio program. The show is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And our focus of the show today is a group called Bossa Nuevo, which, as one of my guests just said, is which I hadn't really thought of, is a combination of Bossa Nova and Tango Nuevo. Astor Piazzolla, the Argentinian composer, who called his music Tango Nuevo, the new tango, as opposed to the earthier tango, which was meant to be danced, and he wanted his to be a little bit more of a concert music. And then Bossa Nova, which is the focus of a lot of the other music that they're playing. And my guests are two of the members of Bossa Nuevo. George Turner's the guitarist, Karim Yengsep is the bassist, and they brought in a nice sampling of music for us today, and that's one of the tunes they'll be playing on their concert Friday night in downtown Urbana at the Independent Media Center, which you'll find at 202 South Broadway. It's in the old post office building, if you know where that is. They're playing from 7 to 10 on Friday night, and we're glad to have you guys in here today. I'm curious, Karim, you're from Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Is this a music that you knew before, or is that
no? But maybe you know, in retrospect, I think that's what really caused all this fascination and infatuation with these artists is the non-availability of that music. You know, even in America, you know, I've been here 10 years attending college, and it's kind of, you have to go and look for it, you know, and that, like, a couple of tunes that we brought in, one of them, which maybe we'll hear pretty soon, is so you have to go in, you find the recording, and then there's no music, you know, there's no sheet music. So, you know, I think I spent a couple of days just trying to get it down on paper so I can bring it to the group. And it makes the process so much more enriching educationally for us as, you know, music students as well as performers. Yeah.
And you all are in the jazz studies program, with the exception of your vocalist, who's in musicology. You guys are graduate students, and three of the others are undergrads in jazz.
That's right.
And it's great that you're branching out into this. Is this area, is this a style of music that is taught in that program, or are you kind of picking it up on your own?
I mean, I would say we're kind of doing it on our own. I mean, we certainly, you know, play some bossa novas as part of the repertoire of what we do in the music program, but I wouldn't say that it's a style that's really, you know, taught specifically or really emphasized there so much.
Is it more of the variety that Kareem described earlier, where it might be a standard of some kind given a bossa nova feel?
Yeah, sometimes we might do that, or sometimes we might play some of the more like bossa nova standards, like the Joe Beam stuff like we were talking about earlier. So yeah, like I was saying, I guess in this group we're trying to dig a little deeper and into a little wider variety of Brazilian music.
Kareem, you said you talked about transcribing the music from recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you get most of the arrangements that you're doing here? And then how do you go about that?
Well, actually, the first tune you heard on the program, "Alo Alo Marciano," is a transcription by George, who also has a lot of other stuff in the repertoire. But that's what makes, sort of connects our performances with our education, is our ability to go out and find something we would like to perform, and just because the sheet music is not available, that's not a sort of an issue, because you know, you're able to relate everything you learn in school about, you know, music and kind of connect everything in your own interpretation, your own arrangement. So that kind of comes with the I don't want to say baggage, but it just comes with the territory, sort of.
Well, and it's a time-honored way of learning any kind of jazz, is taking, you know, transcribing somebody's, like Charlie Parker's solos.
Absolutely,
if you're a sax player, or even if you're not a sax player, and people, you know, write those things down or just copy them off recordings, and that's how they learn. I mean, that's so time-honored. That's how Bach used to learn. If they had recordings, you know, he would have done that, but he used to take, like, Vivaldi's music and just write it out.
Yeah.
No, he's just looking at it, but he'd write it out and then adapt things.
I think I heard one sort of almost anecdotal story about Mozart, where he went to a church and he was not allowed to take out the music, the sheet music. So he just sat there and came out and wrote it himself, you know, from memory.
Yeah, I know that story, and I'm trying to remember the name of the
And
of
I
the
hope
piece.
I mean, it's not just an anecdote. And I'm sure it
Well, it might be, but it's one that has been told forever, so it might actually be true. And knowing him, it could, or knowing what we know about him, it could well be true. Yeah. What's the next tune? I think you have another one that's more traditional.
This is kind of representative of sort of the bossa nova style guitar comping, which is so authentic to that music, and this is João Gilberto doing a rendition of "You Vim da Bahia" by Gilberto Gil. Basically, this tunes talk about the birthplace of both of these musicians, which is Bahia, and it has beautiful lyrics. And at the end, he says that I came from Bahia and I will return there one day. So there's a lot of meaning in it, and it's just a fantastic composition.
And you're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Yeah. Oh, our conversation is about with members of a group called Bossa Nuevo playing in Urbana Friday night.
Eu vim da Bahia cantar, eu vim da Bahia contar tanta coisa bonita que tem na Bahia, que é meu lugar. Não tem pra comer, mas de fome não morre, porque na Bahia tem mande manja de outro lado, senhor do bom fim, que ajuda o baiano a viver.
Performance by a voice that I imagine is probably very familiar to many people, whether you know his name or not. It was to me, and I didn't know his name. João Gilberto, singing music of by Gilberto Gil. That's all. Those names all start with a G, by the way, except for João, which is a J, and they have the same kind of sound, which I had to learn a little bit. And the name of the tune, Karim, is?
You Vim da Bahia.
Which means, you know?
I come from Bahia.
It would be logical, I guess, if you actually knew a little Portuguese. And one of the tunes that's going to be performed by Bossa Nuevo at the Independent Media Center downtown Urbana tomorrow night from 7 to 10. We have two of their members here on the show today on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guests are George Turner, guitarist, and Karim Yengsep, who is the bassist with the group. Holly Holmes is the vocalist, and I understand she's going to be singing just about or everything in Portuguese. Where'd she learn Portuguese?
Oh, yeah.
Any idea?
Well, let's see. You know, I'm not exactly sure when she started with it. I know she spent some time in Brazil a few years back. I think she went down there for about 6 months. I think it's just been a long-standing interest of hers. I would have to ask her to know for sure when she started. But, you know, she's definitely studying it now. You know, that's the focus of her musicology PhD is I think it's kind of Brazilian music, and she's definitely studying Portuguese.
And do you know who she would study the music with? I mean, she's not here to ask, I realize, but I'm just kind of curious who you would pick that up from around
here.
Well,
you know, I think she's studied a lot just like by what Karim was saying earlier, just through transcription of recordings. Mm-hmm. I believe... You know, I'm sorry I can't say more about it now. I know she was telling me that she was stayed in a certain city down there, and she was like, her particular interest is in kind of the musical development of kind of the local scene, like in this one particular city.
She picked up a lot of stuff firsthand.
Yeah, I think so, during that time she was down there.
Karim, you were telling me while we were listening to this music, João Gilberto teaming up with, was it Stan Getz, to sort of bring this style of music to America?
Yeah, basically, Gilberto, along with his, at that time, wife Astrud, Stan Getz, Jobim, there was an album that came out in 1963, which kind of catapulted that style into the American homes, and that year I think it won several Grammy awards, and then another one, and the second volume followed in '64, and the tunes you actually, a lot of the tunes you hear today, not on this show, but in general, is a lot of them came out of that recording. It's that girl from Ipanema, Desafinado, you know, it's kind of like a classical recording, you know.
How did you go about assembling the group for Bossa Nuevo? Were they just people that you knew to be interested in this style, or folks that you knew who they're playing?
For me, a lot of it was basically trying to find the right combination of people who will be able to whose musical personalities are just kind of in sync with that type of music, because there's a tremendous body of fantastic musicians and performers, and I'm actually very happy how our group came together, because for instance, Lara Driscoll and Matt Plaskota and Mikael, who are not here today with us on the show, they each bring their own personalities into this music, and it just makes it so much more interesting, you know.
Mikael is the saxophonist, Lara the pianist, and Matt the drummer, and of course we've talked about Holly Holmes as the vocalist. You said when they bring their personalities, and you've talked about transcribing the arrangements and so on, how much of the arrangement happens during rehearsal process?
A lot. Because, you know, and that's kind of comes with the tradition of jazz, is you can only do, it's actually in the jargon, it's referred to as ink. You know, you can't just play the ink.
The notes on the page.
Yeah, because it's just a loose notation of somebody's interpretation of that music. So when we bring arrangements to the group rehearsal, it's sort of like a map, you know. This is how it kind of looks on page, and then we come out of the rehearsal with a completely different version of the tune. And oftentimes even during the performance, you know, and that's where our jazz backgrounds come into play, is the ability to introduce spontaneity to the music, and being able to instantly respond to something that's going on stage. So this is by no means a performance of a through composed piece, you know. It's jazz.
Well, it's always interesting to, if you happen to be in a situation where you can look over the shoulder of a jazz player who has a chart in front of him, and realize there's very little ink, as you say, on that page, and yet they're playing and playing and playing, and it's so much of it is being created on the spot.
Yeah.
Do you, how much is what you're describing, the creation of the piece as you play it or as you rehearse it, how much is that traditional to this style, and how much are you infusing as jazz musicians that maybe is expanding the tradition?
Yeah, well, I would say that certainly there's a tradition of jazz improvisation within bossa nova and just Brazilian music in general. I mean, there are maybe certain things that are more, you know, pop-oriented, but I'd say a lot of the classic recordings that we're interpreting in this group are recordings that include a jazz element, though we're maybe taking it a little bit farther than it was on the original recordings, kind of opening the tunes up a little bit, adding more room for improvisation, since we all are jazz musicians. So,
sure, you know, you can't throw away throw away who you are just because you're playing some other style of music.
Exactly.
What do you want to play next?
Would like to play a composition by another major influence in Brazilian jazz, Edu Lobo, and the composition is entitled Upa Neguinho. And the thing about this composition is we're actually playing the arrangement that Elise Regina does on her recording, which again is kind of hard to come by. But this is Edu Lobo's original take on his own composition.
Okay, you're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Uma liberdade só posso esperar.
Well, that was fun. That's a little bit of a change of pace from some of the music we've been listening to. Music by and performed by Edu Lobo, who was also a Brazilian composer, right?
Yes, he was one of the influential figures in Brazilian music, and has a lot of accomplishments.
Yeah, that was fun. We're talking with Karim Yangsept, who's bassist with the group Bossa Nuevo, and George Turner, who's the guitarist. And together with their colleagues, they're going to be performing Friday night in downtown Urbana. Music by Jobim, Giovanni Piazzolla, and Lobo. We've heard examples of all of those folks. And you also have people named Elise Regina, who you talked about, who's the singer who's inspired you. And you said your version of the tune we just heard is inspired in turn by her version of this tune.
Yeah, and I don't know why that keeps happening, but we kind of always go back to a lot of the times to her interpretation, because she kind of, her husband, Cesar Mariano, her second husband, was a fantastic arranger and a pianist. And so he introduced a lot of the jazz elements on top of the, like what you heard, a very traditional rendition of that composition.
And some of the other, Tanya Maria is listed. Is she a performer or composer?
Tanya Maria is a fantastic jazz vocalist and pianist, and will be doing, I think she's more of a stylist in that she takes something old and she makes it she adds her own very personal touch on it. And this next composition is it's kind of actually something completely different from what you heard so far, and it's a clear representative of MPB, popular Brazilian music. It's a composition by Djavan entitled Eu Te Devoro, and it kind of shows the extent of compositions that we do in our repertoire, just the variety and different styles, because this is very modern sort of Brazilian music.
Well, we're very glad you all could come in on the show today, and we will go out with that music. That's George Turner, guitarist, Karim Yangsept, bassist with Bossa Nuevo.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thanks for having us, Kevin.
It's a pleasure.
It's been a lot of fun. And again, their performance Friday night from 7 to 10 at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana in the old post office building. Bossa Nuevo, the music of Jobim Lobo, Giovanni Piazzolla et al. And this is music by Giovanni on Live and Local on FM 90.9.